Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center. Chaplain Sean Denzer is preaching a series of sermons through the Catechism for the first 3 weeks of Advent. Today we continue with the Creed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now I, Paul, would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. You can hear in St. Paul's words here the origin of our creeds. It sounds just like them. And Jesus Christ is the heart of what we believe. This is the world-changing, salvation-altering person. He is the focus of the entire Bible. Everything points forward to him or back at him. And he is the answer to that question that we mentioned yesterday. Is God for me or against me? Well, Jesus Christ is for us. We believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we confess something about his person, that he is both God and man. The Son of God, that second person of the Trinity that we learned about yesterday, has no beginning, of course, just as his Father. There was never a time that the Son was not. He was there at creation. He is equal to the Father. And yet, he has taken up our flesh. He has become man. God, who stands outside of our history, since he's the author of it, has nevertheless entered into it. And now, we leave behind laws, we leave behind teachings, deep revelations, and all those abstract things. And we here in the Creed begin to deal with a baby, with someone who was born in Bethlehem, with a man suffering and dying. We introduce historical figures into our faith, like Pontius Pilate. We talk about dates and places, and all of it culminates in something that can be said of no other man ever. This man beat death and rose again, just as he promised that he would. Our God, dear Christians, is a man. That's our audacious statement about the incarnation of Christ. He's taken up our cause then. Our God has put himself into solidarity with us, entered into our weakness, answered successfully the demands that he himself has put on us, and at the same time bore the punishment of our sinful evils against him. He's taken up our flesh so that he could die, so that he could offer his divine life as the sacrifice and payment and satisfying answer to our predicament, to have us back. He did it to effect our rescue, and he did it gladly, because this God, this triune God, is for us. Though he ought to be against us, as the commandments revealed, yet he satisfies his own demands to buy us back. He pays with his own blood. He redeems us. He declares that we are right with him again now. And what this Lord declares stands firm. The Father's Son died as a criminal. Crucifixion was the most shameful, cruel punishment that the ancient world ever imagined. But he died not for his own sins, but for ours. He said from the cross, "Father, forgive them," concerning those present who had wrongly accused him, but also concerning those who, though not present, yet committed those sins for which he died, you and me. He was God's sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the Father showed that Christ's sacrifice was accepted, that his Son was in fact not a sinner of his own accord, but well-pleasing, and particularly well-pleasing by his death. Well-pleasing to the Father. And he proved it by raising Jesus from the dead. Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one of God. That's what that means. He's the one commissioned for this task, promised long ago by the prophets to save the world from its sin. And his resurrection means then that death's power is undone. Now, when a victory had been won in battle in the ancient world, the good report would be sent from the front lines by a runner back to the city to announce to all the citizens waiting nervously, "We're safe, we've won, our king has conquered, and your doom is averted." That good report in the ancient world was called the gospel. St. Paul says that this gospel about Jesus Christ is the one that saves eternally. Hold fast to it, he says. Believe it. Trust in it. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ means forgiveness, life, and salvation, and it means that for everyone. Everything is accomplished, as Jesus himself said as he bowed his head to die. But he wishes that you and everyone would know it and believe it. His salvation is to be delivered to the world. And that's why Paul and the apostles preach. That's why I preach. That's why the church continues even to the end of the world to preach it. Now, the Holy Spirit seems like the third wheel on the Holy Trinity. Where's his place in this story? If the Father's creation is redeemed by the Son's death and resurrection, isn't it all done? Well, the Holy Spirit works to deliver. By our own reason and strength, we can't believe or come to God at all. We are born sinners, enemies of God, doubters, all of the things which we've said before, which the commandments reveal in us. But the Holy Spirit is the one who nevertheless calls us by this gospel and works through the preaching about Christ to deliver and promise, and thus to create the faith which holds fast to Jesus in those promises. Faith that saves. The Holy Spirit gathers us together across the world, across time, even with those beyond death, into this assembly of Christians, which we call the Holy Church, which Jesus named that. And he says that he will keep it until the last day, when Christ will raise us and all the dead, just as he is risen, when he will judge the world and he will bring those who trust in him into his eternal life. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is at work behind the scenes in all of this. Wherever the scriptures are heard, wherever the specific objective and even tangible promises of God are, that's what we call the sacraments, which we will consider individually over the next weeks. Through these means, the Holy Spirit makes Christians holy. He creates, then strengthens, then preserves faith in us. He inspires and causes us to be useful, enlivened again, able to make a beginning in good works. And he delivers the forgiveness of sins won by Christ. And with that gift, all other gifts come also. And if he does not draw attention to himself, this Holy Spirit, that is so that Jesus Christ may be all in all, as the scriptures say, from him, in him, and to him are all things. Now, dear Christians, we could never exhaust these second and third articles of the Creed about our Jesus Christ, our Savior, and about the means of the Holy Spirit's work in the church. And that's fine. We'll leave it behind today with confidence, because every sermon, every service that we attend, every gathering of Christians is to be keeping us in these things and growing in them. We will never get tired of talking about Jesus Christ and what he has done. So let us end today by simply observing that Christ is the Holy Trinity's answer to that question. Yes, I am for you. The heart of the Creed is just what Luther's Small Catechism says. It's this: I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord, who has redeemed me with his holy, precious blood, that I may be his own and live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and be saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, look down from heaven, behold, visit, and relieve your servants for whom we pray, especially Donna, Benjamin, Carter, Jim, John, Kent, Tina, Anna, Eleanor, David, Kathy, Boyce, Roger, Scott, Tina, Alan, and Jan. We also pray for those who mourn, for Paul, and all who mourn Louise, especially Mike. We pray also for Reverend Stephen and Maggie Oliver serving in Taiwan. Look upon them with the eyes of your mercy. Give them comfort and sure confidence in you. Defend them from every danger to body and soul, and keep them in peace and safety through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Britt and Micah Odemba, who serve the Lord in Kenya. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.